as possible. So when I graduated, I started applying to schools. And Texas A&M, it was too far. Virginia Tech was in my range. And so I applied to Virginia Tech, and I also applied to William Patterson. And, you know, it became very clear. You know, as Acts 17 says, God determines the times and places for us and where we should live. And very quickly, I realized that God wanted to be at William Patterson. Thank you. Thanks. God wanted me to be at William Patterson. He offered me something short of just a full ride for merit at William Patterson, and now I'm graduating this year. So I'm very excited to be done with school. So what Charles and I are going to try and undertake is talking about the theme is committed. We just came back from this amazing campus retreat where we talked about being committed. And I think there's no way to look at being committed without first looking at God's commitment to us. And then Charles is going to come up and talk about our commitment to him. And turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be sticking in Romans for my portion. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a couple questions. Feel free to shout it. We got a little family here, and so you can be as loud as you want. As you're turning to Romans 8, what's the cost of the most expensive sandwich you've ever had? You said tofu? Oh, Whole Foods down the road. What's the cost of the most expensive sandwich you ever had? Go for it. $13. Wow. Got ripped off. What else? $20. Wow. $5 footlongs are now $6. What the heck? Okay. Most expensive car you've ever seen. What's the cost of that? $500,000? You said $40 million? $4 million. $4 million. That's a lot. Okay. If you could put a price tag on it, how much would you put on a loved one of yours being cured of a sickness? What's the value of that? Go for it. Put a number on it. Infinity? Okay, we'll actually put a number on it. That's irrelevant. $500,000? What would you pay to see that happen, right? So, what we're going to talk about as we look at Romans 8, my first point is God, he went all in. And in Romans 8, verse 32, the Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, he gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God went all in. We think about him being committed to us, we have to recognize that God did go all in. He gave his son. He gave his son. In John 3:16, we know the scripture so well, but he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that we can have a relationship with him. God is crazy about us. He's committed to us. And the scripture here says that not only did he give us his son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? The son was kind of the breakthrough. He goes, this is all I've got. It's all yours. Whatever else, put it on my tab. So how much is that worth? Well, I was doing a little research, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, says that the value of a life is $7.4 million. $7.4 million. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, says it's about $9 million. Your life and every person's life in the world, whether American, African, European, whatever it is, each life is worth about $9 million. Now, I don't know whose job that is to determine the value of one's life. I don't want that job. And I'd probably put it at Infinity or whatever that is. But that's what they guess, or that's what they're establishing, that $9 million is the value of your life. Okay. So, $9 million times the population of today's world, which is approximately 7 billion, how much is our collection of lives worth? Any math majors? Hofstra? Watch the zeros. If you can read that, $63 quadrillion. That's all the lives of just the people on this planet, approximately. Forget about the people who are in the past. Forget about the people who will be in the future. That's the value of the lives on this earth. And so, when God says that He did not spare His only Son, what that means is that God valued your life enough to send His Son down to save you. But not just you, your one life, but all people. And so the total value of what God's contribution was for our lives and what He values you at is $63 quadrillion, approximately. A little lower than the true number. And so, okay, let's go with that. $63 quadrillion. So God was willing to spend, He's committed to you, God was willing to spend, quote unquote, $63 quadrillion so that He could save His people. And if He had to do that for everybody, He had to do that for you. So the value that He's putting on your life then isn't 9 million, it's $63 quadrillion. That's how much God loves you. And He committed to you. I know some of you maybe even work on Wall Street. Who knows? Maybe you guys have your own investment portfolio. But that was a horrible investment. Why? Because He probably gets about 2% back on His return. He gave $63 quadrillion and He probably gets 2% back on what He gave. Yet He still thought it was a worthy investment. Because He loves you. And He is committed to you. And there's no going back now for Him. He's all in. So when He says He gave you all that, He didn't spare His only Son, but how will He not graciously also give you these other things? Go ahead and put a price tag on family struggles. Go ahead and put a price tag on what's going on with your sickness. Put a price tag on your son and daughter's salvation. Put a price tag on how much you want to see the people at your work saved. Put a price tag on it. Go for it. Try. Like we said, someone getting who is sick being cured, maybe $500,000. What's that to God? If God was willing to pay that much for you, everything else is simply cake for Him. He goes, if I've given you $63 quadrillion, 0000 times so many zeros, what is $10,000? What is $100,000? Well, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you that you're going to go home today and have $63 quadrillion in your bank account. God's going to spare you from that. That leads to pride. But what I am saying is that if God's willing to do that much for you, what else is He willing to do for you? He is committed to you. He is desperately committed to you. Amen? My second point, He went all in, and now it's all gone. What? $63 quadrillion. God, I'm not talking about the money. Is that when God sent His Son, one and only Son, down to die for you, what He did is He took our sin away from us. That's common. We all know that, right? And then David goes one step further. He says, He took our sin and separated it as far as the east is from the west. So removed is sin from us. Not only is sin taken away from us, it's sent all the way down to California, past California, past, you know, Venus, past Pluto. It's gone. Your sin is so far removed from you. It's gone. God was so committed to you that He removed, if you're in Christ, He removed your sin so far from you so that He can have a relationship with you. That nothing can creep back in unless you let it. So that He can have a relationship with you. You know, I love this scripture because if God was willing to do that, what's the result for us? The scripture in Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This morning, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you've been baptized into Him, what He's saying is that there is no condemnation for you. There's not one ounce of condemnation for you. You know what condemnation is? It's the quality of saying that something is bad. It's declaring that this is wrong. This is not good, right? And so, to kind of put it practical for us, is that we live in a world, and I know for me, is I'll go on campus and I'll walk past somebody, and maybe you do this wherever you are, but I'll walk past somebody on campus, and I want to share with them, but I don't share with them, and so I start accusing myself. And I start saying, that was bad. That was bad. And I do enough bad things in a day, I start to think, wow, I'm actually a bad person. I'm not a good person. And so what I wind up doing, Timothy Keller does a really good example of this. He talks about a courtroom. And so what I wind up doing is I take my good, I take my bad, I weigh both, and I go, okay, depending on what I did more today, I'm a good person. But if I did bad, I'm a bad person. And more often than not, I see my bad more than my good, and so I feel worse about myself more often than not. Can you guys relate to that? And so Timothy Keller gives the example about a judge. That's like John right there, a little white hair. He gives the example of a judge, and he says, every day we find ourselves in a courtroom. And we have the defendant and we have the plaintiff or the prosecutor. And what we're doing is we're trying to establish, am I good enough? Are my actions defending me or are they prosecuting me? And the judge is eventually going to determine the verdict of, am I good enough? And so what we do is we put ourselves on stage every single day. We look at what we did, what we didn't do, and we wait for the judge to determine what's going to be said about us. We look back at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is none of that. Why? In chapter 8, verse 3. I'm going verse 4. It says, and so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that according that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There is a prosecution. There is a judge. And that judge will judge. And he will condemn. But because of what Christ did for you, instead of you going on trial and you going before the judge, Christ sat where you were supposed to be. And because of that, he took on the punishment that you deserved. Talk about God being committed to us, right? And so not only that, God took on the punishment that we deserve, and then we find ourselves in the courtroom. We find ourselves judging whether or not we're a good person. You know, the truth is that if you were to be judged properly, there's not enough good you can do to be prosecuted in a positive manner. You've sinned. You've fallen short. You guys know this, right? Yet why do we find ourselves back in the courtroom? Why do I find myself on a daily basis judging myself, trying to compare myself to others, trying to see, am I good enough? When God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we find ourselves going back to the courtroom, we don't belong there. The jury is set. The decision has been made, and we don't belong there. When you find yourself putting yourself in the courtroom, you need to stand up and get out. When you start asking, am I good enough? What does God think of me? What do I think of myself? It makes no sense because of what Christ has already done for you. Therefore, there is no condemnation for you who is in Christ Jesus. The jury is out. And because of that, we can live free lives. We can have a relationship with God where when He sees us, the very words that He said to Jesus of, this is my son. Not this is my daughter, but, you know, for you as well. This is my son, this is my daughter, with whom I am well pleased. We can believe those words that he said to Jesus are the very words that he says to you today. And you can be confident of that. God is so committed to you that he took away your sin as far as the east is from the west. He's willing to give you more and more and more than you could ever imagine because he wants to. He's already gone all in for you. He wants to give you all that he can. Let us go to him for that. But lastly, God's given us an ability to have a relationship with him that is completely unhindered, where there is no condemnation, where there is no thinking, God, do you think I'm good enough? Because the answer is, yes, you are my son with whom I am well pleased. God's commitment to us leads us to be committed to him. And so in that, Charles is going to come up and speak.
All right, good morning, church. Oh, wow. I'm pretty loud, yeah. So probably have to get used to that for a little bit. Is this the clicker? Okay, awesome. Okay, so get rid of that judge there. All right, so we're going to talk about our commitment to him. All right, so I want to just give Matt a round of applause one more time. Did an awesome job. And I just want to say I'm so, so grateful for you, man. I couldn't ask for a better, more spiritual, righteous man to be a partner in the gospel with. This man is incredible, and because of who I am today, he played a big part in that. And I just want to say, man, I love you from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And so, good morning, family. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 14. So just to share a little bit about myself, like John Rodio said, I am part of the New Jersey Campus Ministry, serve as an intern, and I'm also part of the New York School of Missions. And one thing that I was committed to my whole life was to actually go and be drafted in the NFL. That was my dream. That was my hope. I put everything I could to make that dream happen, right? And so I ended up committing to North Park University and played college football in Chicago for one semester because I ended up ruining my career from a knee injury, right? And so I had to come back to New Jersey and I ended up being part of William Patterson. And then on campus, just trying to figure out my life, my dreams were crushed. And then a man by the name of Rob Novak comes up to me, and he actually chickened out because he ended up walking past me and then turning around and decided, hey, excuse me. And then so what he ended up doing was chickening out, but he mustered up the courage and he did it. And he invited me out to Bible talk. And I remember coming to midweek and coming to the church and seeing the diversity and seeing the faithfulness of all you guys inspired me so much. And I was like, I need to be part of this. How can I be part of this, you know? And so he asked me to study the Bible, and as you know, 2 weeks later, I got baptized. Amen? So, yeah, I got baptized in 2 weeks. It can happen, church. So, let's look at the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 14. I'll put it up here on the slide. Okay? So, I'm going to read 14 to 19. Well, 14 to 20, but we're gonna stick to 14 and 20 today. So it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Amen, right? So God has committed to us the message of reconciliation, right? And one word that I really want us to look at, it's hard to be committed to something when you don't have a motivation why you're being committed to it, right? And so he talks about being compelled. And what this word compel means is it means a force or to do something with pressure or an urge, right? So what Paul's talking about, he's talking about being compelled by the love of Christ, So everything that Matt was able to talk about, that is the motivating drive that needs to move us to spread the message of reconciliation. So being compelled is something that we have to figure out, all right, what is motivating me to do this? Is it the love of God, right? And so there's one thing that really blows my mind about what someone's actually committed to, and I don't know if you guys heard of an Ironman race. It is the craziest, most difficult race anyone could ever do in your life, the Ironman. So this is what it consists of. So you have a 2.4-mile swim, right? Y'all already are cringing a little bit, right? 2.4-mile swim. Right after that, a 112-mile bicycle ride. Right after. This is no breaks. And then right after that, you have a 26.2-mile run marathon. This is all in one day. And sometimes I think to myself, what compels a man to be committed to do something like that? You know, so there's some things that we look at that are crazy, and I'm like, sometimes all you got to do is say, you know what, amen, right? That's kind of, amen seems to be the thing where it's like, you see something crazy, and it's like, amen. I don't think I would do that, though, you know? So what would compel someone to do something like that, right? And then you also see things in the world that are just pure evil. You know, like, what compels someone to do what happened at the Sandy Hook school? Or what compels someone to do something that we see going on in terrorism and ISIS and all those things, right? What can compel someone's heart to be so dark and to do something like that, right? Because we do live in a world that are compelled with the wrong motives. But we have something that is tangible, that we can have, that we can be compelled for the rest of our lives with, and that is the Word of God. But He gave us the message of reconciliation, right? And so what does that mean? That means God wants to reconcile all 7 billion people in this world back to Him. That was His plan. And He's longing every day. And you know what? He chose us to be the ones to spread the message. He chose us with our weaknesses, with everything that our insecurities, whatever it may be. God has chosen us to pass the message of reconciliation on. Isn't that an honor? Isn't that something great that you get to do? Share in God's love in that way and share it with others, right? And so I want us to see what that looks like, all right? So in verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us." Isn't that awesome? Hear that, brother in the front? Wow, yeah, amen, right? He wants to use you to make His appeal. Like, hey, tell people how much I love them, right? And I want us to look at a clip to kind of get an illustration of what that actually looks like.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
All right, ladies first, where are we going?
Now hang on. So, okay, stop. She was right there. This is the moment where both of you became a possibility.
I love that you're telling stories again.
This is the story before the story. This is where you and you begin. Because this is where I met your mom. She was sitting right there in that chair. Hang on.
Hey, so, I was walking by, and I saw, and I literally stopped like this, just stopped, and went, oh my God, that is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my entire life. But I've never done anything like this. I'd never gone and talked to a total stranger before, but she was right there. And so I thought to myself, 20 seconds, right? Go.
Now I'm in the restaurant, and I'm terrified, thinking about leaving, I can actually touch her. She's right there. She still hasn't seen me. And I still have 15 seconds of courage left. I'm going for it. Bravery. Here's what I said.
What?
I said, excuse me.
Hi, Mommy.
Wow, almost tear up every time I see that. and I've watched it probably like 10 times, by the way. Disclaimer. But wow, right? 20 seconds of courage. That's all it took. Imagine if he didn't do that. His kids wouldn't exist. Imagine if he didn't do that. The family he would have had would have never happened. Church, how many 20-second opportunities do we miss out? Because we give into fear. We give into insecurities. And we give into our doubts. We shrink back from sharing God's message of reconciliation. And it might be that person's one opportunity to see a disciple for the rest of their life. There's only one shot and one chance we get to see God's love. One shot they get to see God's love for the first time. And if he didn't have the courage to do that, look at all he would have missed out on. Look at all that the kids would have missed out on. An incredible family, an incredible relationship, right? It takes 20 seconds of courage to change someone's eternal destiny, you know? And I understand. I get it. I get fearful. Times I'm on campus, I literally remember the first time I went on campus, and I was with Rob Novak, and he asked me, hey, let's go share our faith for a little bit, you know, and I mean, the whole idea of just talking to strangers was just ridiculous to me. I just couldn't get over that. I was just so fearful, you know, I remember going with him, and I actually left, and I went to the bathroom, because we split up, and I actually went in the bathroom for like 15 minutes, just being in there, just pacing, like, oh my goodness, why am I... What is going on? God be with me, you know. And it's hilarious. And then I come back, and I was just so grateful that Rob didn't ask me where I was and who I shared with in the last 15 minutes. And honestly, I know probably John's going to tell him, but I have to get open about that. I've been holding that in for years. But I get it. I get the insecurity. I get the fear that's in our hearts. But I want to encourage you guys with a scripture. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 19. Says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Wow. God looks throughout the whole world. He's looking throughout the whole Long Island region. And he's saying, I want to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to me. Right? But here's the thing. Fully committed is the way to get the strength. When we fully commit ourselves, God is going to give us everything that we need to make an impact. He's looking. He's looking right now. This is what God does 24/7. You know, I can't even stay still for 10 seconds, right? God is all looking continuously every second. Who's fully committed to me? I want to just strengthen them. I want to help them. I want to build them up. God is looking for that. But what is needed is the full commitment to him. And he will strengthen your heart. I want to share a story with you guys, just real quick. So this is Bergen Community College. This is a picture montage here. And so this is our Bible talk. And I just wanted to share about them. In the summer internship in 2014, I was part of, I was going to William-Patterson at the time. And I did the whole internship for the summer. And I was like, all right, like, no one got baptized, right? So we shared our faith a lot. No one ended up getting baptized. And I'm like, I need to stay here. I need to find, Who's gonna take this over? Because we had a guy come out here from Chicago to help out and everything, and we even had a sister from Los Angeles that came out to help an internship, and just no one got baptized. So I was like, man, something still needs to happen here. There's too many seeds planted to leave. And so my heart just ached to see Bergen just to leave and nothing happening there. And so I ended up calling Rob, and I'm like, hey, Rob, you know, I prayed about this. This is hard, but I want to transfer from William Patterson University and start the Bible Talk at Bergen. And he looked at me like, did you get any advice? And I was like, no, I only prayed about it, but can I get advice from you? All right, so we got it. I got advice and everything, and you know what? 2 weeks later, I decided that I'm going to transfer my four-year school. And it was a lot of fear in that. Like, oh, I got to backtrack in school. I got to do all that. But I just couldn't leave Bergen Community College in ruins. I couldn't. And so I left, and I transferred to Bergen Community College. And because of that, God had blessed it so much. There was one sister there who was praying for 2 years that there would be a Bible talk there. And God put it on my heart to go. And I battled the fear, battled all that, and I made it. And I ended up transferring. And then right the first week of school, we had a guy who was studying Bible into the fall semester. And his name is Nick Walker. And he got baptized the first week of school. Right? So Nick got baptized here. And then a few months later, Shauna, who's here, Shauna Lewin, they're actually spiritual twins. They got baptized together. But Shauna, who's on the right, she got baptized a few months later. And then also in that semester, we became a club on campus at the same time. And then that's the Bible Talk we ended up having in the spring. And then so a couple disciples decided, hey, we're going to go and we're going to help build that Bible Talk. So we had a few sisters who came and a brother who came to help us with that Bible Talk. And that was a Bible Talk that we had just a semester later, you know. And then up here in the top right corner, I was praying like God, because I was about to transfer, and I was praying, God, please help me find somebody who's going to take this over, somebody who can come here and lead this campus, you know, this ministry here. And then in 2016, I met Kyrie Gilchrist, and he decided, and then he ended up becoming a leader. He's leading the Bible Talk right now. Isn't that incredible? So God, yeah, you guys can clap. So it's amazing what God could do with one committed heart. He can do so much beyond our wildest dreams, right? And yes, they're all still faithful right now, amen? And they're doing awesome. But how did it happen? It only took 20 seconds of courage. These people who got baptized, it was just random strangers that we shared our faith with. 20 seconds. Hey, you want to come to Bible Talk? You want to come to church? That was it. God can do a lot with a little if we're fully committed, right? And so, all right, I want to also share something quick. So this is my baptism picture, and I want to let you know how the power of 20 seconds of courage is, right? So this is my baptism picture, March 8th, and this wouldn't have happened if this guy didn't decide to share his faith with me. So Robin and Bradley, his son, right? And so because I was able to receive the message of reconciliation, pass it on to others. But what's crazy about this is that you're going to be pretty surprised right now of the reason why I'm actually even here. And what's crazy about that is, guess who shared their faith with Rob? John Rodeo! So, you guys see that? Y'all see the power in that? Because John shared faith with me. Brother, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. You're the reason why I'm here. You're the seed that you planted, that seed, man. And because of that, I'm here before you today sharing this message that I never thought I would be in front of a church speaking to anybody. I didn't even want to go to church at one point. No? But I'm here in front of you guys today because of the grace of God and because somebody committed themselves to the message of reconciliation. Amen? So, I want to leave you guys with this. What will happen with your 20 seconds of insane courage? Who can you talk to this week in the grocery store while you're waiting on those long lines? Right? I was just at Whole Foods this morning, so I know what it's like. So, when you're waiting in those long lines, right? Or there's marriages out there that are broken that God has called the marrieds to go and help build that marriage again, to help them to see that you can be married until the day you die. You can have a successful marriage. And I'm a single guy saying this stuff, but it can happen. I've seen it. When I came to the church, I was amazed by the marriage ministry because I've never seen two people so committed and loving each other the way they did, right? And what about campus, you know? What about this campus right here? What's this, Old Westbury? Oh, wow, yeah, I got that. Okay, Old Westbury. What can happen here? What can happen in Long Island if you took 20 seconds to say something, right? 20 seconds will change people's eternity. And God wants to do that with you, right? And so let us be compelled by the love of God. Let us be driven that at least a commitment to sharing the love that he has for us with others. And let's let our 20 seconds of courage change for eternity. Because when we get to heaven, nothing else is going to matter besides who do we bring with us and am I getting in myself. So let's go, let's share, and let's help bring people into this amazing family that we have here this morning. Amen.